In the late 60s, Led Zeppelin became the prototype of the heavy metal band. As the Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll says, the band changed the landscape against which rock and roll is played, and so the basic formula for heavy metal was codified: blues chords plus high-pitched male tenor vocals, singing lyrics that ideally combined mysticism, sexism, and hostility. Led Zeppelin broke up in the early 80s. Now Led Zeppelin has a new 2-DVD set, which features excerpts of 4 concerts, as well as interviews and TV clips. A review in Rolling Stone described the set as the holy grail of heavy metal. Jimmy Page co-founded the band and became one of rock's guitar gods. Before Led Zeppelin, he played with the Yardbirds. He joined the band shortly before Jeff Beck left. Last week, while I was away, guest host Barbara Bogave recorded an interview with Jimmy Page.
Before you joined up with the Yardbirds and before the whole Led Zeppelin thing happened, you were an established session player in London. You played with the Kinks, with the Stones, with Donovan, with Burt Bacharach. What did you learn from session work that you used later in both playing and producing in Led Zeppelin?
Well, I've got to tell you that what it was really was an apprenticeship. But the reality of it was that the session musicians were actually in London a very, very closed shop. It was very, you know, it was just like the creme de la creme, really. However, they needed somebody who really knew exactly what was going on with all the music of the day and the source music of it and everything, and also somebody who could come up with his own ideas. And I played on a record anyway, and it got in the lower end of the top 20, and all of a sudden, this sort of behind these closed doors of the creme de la creme, there was like, who's that guitarist on that record? And I was brought in just initially to play exactly what I wanted to. They said, just play what you want. They gave me the chord charts, and it was really fun. You can imagine that, you know, it was good. And then bit by bit, they'd give me like a few dots on, you know, look like crows on telephone cables, you know, and I realised that I'd have to start reading music. So I started to read music. I was doing all these. I'd be doing 3 sessions a day, 5 sessions a week. So that's 15 sessions. Sometimes I could be playing with a group. Sometimes I could be playing could be doing film music. It could be a folk session. And you know, the thing is that because I listened to all this sort of music, I was able to fit all these different roles. And they probably thought that was really quite cool. You know, after a while, my ability to read music improved and improved and improved. So really, I just became quite an accepted member within this very privileged society, you know.
Was it the session work and the time that you spent in the studios that got you interested in the technology and producing records?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Being this apprenticeship that became part of the reading of music, it also became part of how things were recorded. You know, I started to learn microphone placements and things like that, what did and what didn't work. I certainly knew what did and didn't work with drummers, because they put drummers in these little sound booths that had no sound deflection at all, and the drums would just sound awful. And the reality of it is that a drum is an acoustic instrument. It relies on, you know, having a bright room and a live room to it. So, or at least a booth or whatever. And so bit by bit I was learning really how not to record.
I'm thinking that Led Zeppelin is one of the first bands to really have an ambient, to a band that recorded its ambient sound. I mean, it sounded, yeah, as if someone was playing drums at a party when you listened to Led Zeppelin records. Was that the sound that you were going for?
Well, certainly so that the drums could breathe. One of the the marvellous things about John Bonham, which made things very easy, was the fact that he really knew how to tune his drums. And I tell you what, that's pretty rare in drummers those days. He really knew how to make the instrument sing. And because of that, he could get so much volume out of it just by playing with his wrists. You know, it was just an astonishing technique that was sort of pretty holistic, if you see what I mean. Yeah, as far as the drums went, right from the first recording, it was given a lot of space so you could get the ambience of it. But it was there, as far as my end of it went, there was always great attention paid to where it was going, where the drums were going to be, and whether you could hear all the harmonics from them. And also the one that, for instance, like Levy Breaks, was something where we were playing in one room in a house with a recording truck, and a drum kit was duly set up in the main hallway, which is a three-story hall, with a staircase going up all around the inside of it, in a big house, you know. And when John Bonham went out to play the kit in the hall, I went, oh, wait a minute, we got to do this. And we just, curiously enough, that's just a stereo mic that's up the stairs on the second floor of this building, and that was his natural balance.
Well, let's listen to that. This is When the Levee Breaks. Jimmy Page is my guest, who's co-founder, lead guitarist for Led Zeppelin. Listening to When the Levee Breaks, Led Zeppelin. My guest is Jimmy Page, the co-founder and lead guitarist for the band. Now, the term heavy metal didn't exist before Led Zeppelin. When you first heard the term heavy metal, what did it mean to you, and is that what you thought you were playing? I mean, the band started out as a blues rock band and had a slow evolution.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where we got a tag of that, but there's no denying, I mean, the fact that the elements of what became known as heavy metal is definitely there within Led Zeppelin, but the reality of it is that it's the riff music, and riff music goes back to the blues, the electric blues of the 50s, you know, and what was going on down there in Chicago. And that's it, you know. It's curious, actually. It's said that it's William Burroughs who first termed it in the book of The Heavy Metal Kid, is one of the characters, you know. When he did an article in the 70s with me for a magazine called Crawdaddy, and at that time I was really honored that he'd been to Zeppelin concerts, and he'd been to a few. I was really quite surprised because I didn't know, but he'd asked to interview me, and at that time he said, you've got to go to Morocco, because that's where you're going to, he said, what you're doing is trance music. Well, I knew it was trance music without any doubt, but he said, you've got to go to Morocco because that's where you're going to hear you know, riff music. But you know, it was a good call, and I went there, and I understood exactly, you know, why he'd asked me to go there.
When you say you knew it was trance music, was that the effect you were going for, or is that what you felt when you performed it?
No, that's just exactly what happened with it. Uh-huh. It was trance music.
In terms of the relationship between you on the stage and the audience,
and all of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, within what was being played and what would animate from it, you know, in every way. But, yeah, it was definitely trance music. There's no doubt about that.
Now, Stairway to Heaven. Stairway to Heaven, you wrote in 1970. What was going on in the band at the time that you wrote that song?
Well, we were recording at Headley Grange, which was a house where we were staying. But we had a recording truck, and it was a really, really good working environment, you know. And I had these pieces, these guitar pieces, that I wanted to put together. I had a whole idea of how, of a piece of music that I really wanted to try and present to everybody and try and come to terms with. It's a bit difficult, really, because it started on acoustic, and as you know, it goes through to the electric parts. But we had various run-throughs where I was playing the acoustic guitar and then jumping over and picking up the electric guitar. And Robert was sitting in the corner, leaning against the wall. And he was, as I was routining the rest of the band with this idea in this piece, he was just writing, and all of a sudden he got up and he started singing, along with another run through, and he must have had 80% of the words there. And why I'm saying that story is I just want to let you know just how inspired we all were at that point in time. We were inspired by each other, you know.
Now your guitar part, of course, the introduction is one of the most famous acoustic guitar bits in rock. That and maybe Freebird. It's what all aspiring guitarists play, and I think every guitar store in the world has a sign requesting that you please not play Stairway to Heaven when trying out the instruments.
Yeah, but would they permit me to do it if I went in there?
Did you ever ask? I was going to ask.
No, I won't ask. Stairway denied.
Was the lead in something that you had fiddled around with on your own? And were you looking
I'm sorry?
Was the lead in something that you had fiddled around with on your own when you picked up?
Oh, no, that was part of one of the sections that I had. You know, as I said, it was a number of sections that I wanted to join together. Mm-hmm. And, I had that bit. Oh, I had that well and truly before I went into Headley Grange, yeah. The whole thing about Stairway was that it was something which... Going back to those studio days for me and John Paul Jones, the one thing you didn't do was speed up. Because if you sped up, you wouldn't be seen again. You know, everything had to be right on the meter all the way through. And I really wanted to write something which did speed up and took the emotion and the adrenaline with it and would reach a sort of crescendo, you know, and that was the idea of it. And that's why it was a bit tricky to sort of to get together in its early stages. But no, I had these sections and I knew what order they were going to go in, but it was just a matter of getting everybody to feel comfortable with each sort of gear shift that was going to be coming.
Well, we've got to hear it now. This is Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin. This is my guest. Here's Stairway to Heaven. Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin. I'm speaking with Jimmy Page. He's a co-founder and former lead guitarist for the band. I think virtually everyone in my generation, at least at one time or another, made out to Stairway to Heaven in a rec room somewhere, or made out while someone played Stairway to Heaven on a guitar on a beach.
Well, please,
somewhere.
I wasn't the guitarist playing Stairway to Heaven when you were making out. I'm really relieved at that.
I'm curious what stories fans tell you about that song. What it means to them, what memories they have.
Well, you know, the wonderful thing about Stairway is the fact that just about everybody's got their own individual interpretation to it and actually what it meant to them at their point of life. And that's what's so great about it. Over the passage of years, you know, people come to me with all manner of sort of stories about, you know, how it meant, well, what it meant to them at certain points of their lives, how it actually got them through some really tragic circumstances or to the other point where, you know, because it's an extremely positive song, you know, it's such a positive energy in it, and you know, people have got married to that.
When you were a kid first learning guitar, did you have a song like Stairway to Heaven, the song that everyone played and a lot of people played it to impress girls at parties?
I don't know, I didn't used to go to parties.
Did you listen to music with friends or was music something private?
Playing guitar was, because to be honest with you, when I grew up there weren't many guitarists there weren't any. There's one other guitarist in my school who actually showed me the first chords that I learned, and I went on from there. So it's something I taught myself, the guitar, from listening to records. So, yeah, obviously it was a very personal thing. You couldn't sort of bring your friends around and have a dance party and suddenly start playing guitar and say, well, hang on, I want to move that back and listen to that solo again. You know, so it's just the way that it was.
Who did you listen to? What music did you listen to?
I listened to the early rock of the 50s, you know, sort of Elvis, which is such an important inroad, really. From the musicians that were in all of that, you know, and the bands that were relative to that. I mean, I was gobbling it all up. I was trying to take on board as much as I could. Johnny Burnett, Rock and Roll Trio, Gene Vincent, all of these things. And bit by bit, began to access the blues because they were playing to old bar blueses, and then you became open to listening to sort of, you know, Muddy Waters and Elmore James and Robert Johnson. It was like doing, I guess it was almost similar to doing a university course, you know, you were just learning and learning and learning, and at the end you came up with your paper, and I guess my paper was Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin really hit it big on the first and second U.S. tour in 1968 and 1969, and somewhere in there the band became a full-fledged happening with the whole groupie scene and Rolls Royces driven into swimming pools and girls camped out in hotel corridors and some very intense groupies. I think Squeaky Fromm, I think, turned up at some point in there, the girl who attempted to assassinate Gerald Ford. So
that must have been one of Robert's fans, wasn't one of mine.
At the time, what was your attitude towards the whole scene?
What for me is the most important thing, and always was, no matter what. That's the whole reason of going up on a stage and never knowing exactly what was going to happen from the moment you walked on to the moment you walked off, musically. So much importance seems to be put on what happened to Led Zeppelin when they weren't on that stage, that I find it quite amusing. But if I'm just going to, I just want to explain, you go up on stage and play for three hours and a half, and you've got all this, you're not just turning on an adrenaline tap here, you've got floodgates going. And the thing is that when you come off stage, the one thing you don't do is go home and have a cup of cocoa and go to bed. And then we would go to clubs after that. And for us, clubs, the energy of a club was actually coming down from the intensity of those shows. So that's what I'm going to say. And have a good time, Barbara.
You toured with the Black Crowes a few years ago. How did that touring experience compare to your memories of touring?
Well, I had a wonderful time with the Black Crowes. It was just a fantastic party, to be honest with you. It was great to play their music. I really loved it. And actually doing the Zeppelin music with them was quite an experience because, for example, we did 10 Years Gone and all of a sudden I heard all the guitar parts that I'd never heard apart from on record. I mean, we could never do all those guitar parts with just the one guitar with Led Zeppelin. And, it was fantastic. I was having such a great time. And Chris Robinson, well, I can't say enough about how brilliantly he sang, and I can't say enough about what a good band it was too. It was a band that I always really, really, really liked, and I'm right here in New York now, and we played the Roseland Ballroom here, and it was just scary. It was fantastic. So yeah, I had a great time with them, and hope they had a great time with me.
Jimmy Page, thanks very much for talking
today. Thanks very much. Okay, bye.
Guitarist Jimmy Page with Fresh Air guest host Barbara Bogave. Their interview was recorded last week while I was away. Led Zeppelin has a new 2-DVD set of concerts, interviews, and TV appearances. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Roberta Shurrock, Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. I'm Terry Gross.
The leaves are falling all around. Time I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged. such a pleasant stay. But now it's time for me to go.